Thank you very much, Anne, for reading so well. It's quite a difficult passage, lots of difficult words and difficult ideas, and maybe that you'd like to keep your Bible open as I talk about it. Let's pray. Oh, Lord God, we ask that you may open our minds to understand these wonderful things from your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, today's passage, that second half of chapter 14, is part of what's called, some people call it, Jesus's farewell discourse. That sounds a bit of a high-fluting name, but it's to do with Jesus saying farewell to his disciples. And it's in chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17. So we're quite near the beginning of it. And remember, just to put it into context, John's written in chapter 13 about the Passover, what we call the Last Supper, where they did had the bread and the wine and the bitter herbs. In fact, four cups of wine in the Jewish Passover. And don't ask me to explain all that. I'm sorry, that's another study, really. But so we've had the Passover. Then Jesus takes off some of his clothes and he washes his disciples' feet. Then he says, one of you is going to betray us. One of you is going to betray me. And then he turns around and tells Peter, and you're going to deny me. And then to cap it all, Jesus says, I'm going to the Father. I'm going away. It's farewell. So really a bit troubling, I would say. And then he starts off in verse 1 of chapter 14. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. And last week we had Mark talking about that first half of the chapter. He was saying, you know, trust God, trust Jesus for your destiny. And we must trust Jesus for our destiny, for our life's journey, and for the activities or plans. And probably have to trust him, especially when things don't seem to be going to our plan. Let's have the first slide up, please. And here's the first verse of this passage, today's passage. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, love, he says, keep my commandments. And bear in mind, it's not just the Ten Commandments, God's commandments, but they are Jesus' commandments too. Because if Jesus and God are one, it's Jesus' commandments as well as the Father's. If you were to look down the passage, you see that in verse 21, it says, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he is the one who loves me. It's a proof of love, the obedience. So love leads to obedience, and obedience is a proof of love. And then verse 23, we've got it again. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. Now, I think it's a principle that when Scripture repeats something again and again, it shows how important it is. So I think I've got the message, I hope you have, that if we love God, we obey him. I think that's the message. And in fact, if you look down to at the end of our passage, verse 31, it says, Jesus is saying, don't just do as I say, but do as I do. Because he's saying, I do as the Father has commanded me. So Jesus obeys the Father in going to the cross, and he's wanting us to obey him and his words. So what is it to keep Jesus' words? Do you remember the rich young man who came to Jesus and said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? There's a quite an interesting slant to that, because Jesus quotes several of the commandments, and the young man says, well, I've done all that. But the one that Jesus leaves to the end, he says, go and sell everything, because he didn't quote, don't covet. And in fact, that's the very one that trips the young man up. So keep the commandments. And then also the Pharisee who came up and said, oh, what's the greatest commandment? And that's in Matthew. Matthew records it in chapter 22. Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and strength, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Well, that may be slightly vague. How do you love your neighbor? And then, of course, he told the story of the Good Samaritan. But it's really saying that we should have an attitude of serving. Now, in the Gibson household, you will naturally realize that if I want to think of something, I must ask June, confer with June, and I hope she would confer with me. Now, it's actually dangerous not to do that because I get into a lot of trouble. But on a less humorous note, I mean, if we've got some important decision in life, surely we should pray about it to see if it is godly, that the path we're going to take, and whether God has got any, when he wants to speak to our hearts. And let's have up the next slide, because I love this verse, written by Micah, who happened to be, you'll find it somewhere in the middle of the Minor Prophets. He prophesied about the same time as Isaiah, which was 700 BC. And what you'll find in this verse, it says, what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and walk humbly with your God? A kind of an attitude of being God's servant in all that we do. Anyone finding this a rather high standard? Oh, I do. We need help, don't we? Can we do it? Well, now we're going to deal with what I regard as the more topical part of today's, bearing in mind this Sunday. In John chapter 14, John is writing what Jesus said on that evening, before the Passover that evening, but he's referring to what's going to happen at the next great Jewish feast. See, at the Passover, devout Jews came from all over the nation, but also from all the different countries, from Greece and Turkey and Persia and all those different places. The Greek word for it is the diaspora, for those who like Greek words. It means just the dispersion, where all the Jews were living elsewhere. And then, of course, 7 weeks later, they would come to celebrate Shavuot. Now, Shavuot actually is the celebration of the coming in of the wheat harvest, what you might call a sort of harvest festival for the Jews. And as I said, this weekend is Shavuot. You know, if you're a devout Jew, you'd be celebrating today is Shavuot. And it's called the Feast of Weeks. And for us, of course, just as Shavuot occurred 7 weeks later, so that's when the Holy Spirit was given. It was actually 7 weeks or 50 days after Easter. And that's how we call it. The Greek, Pente is 50, Kos is day, 50 days, Pentecost, 50 days after Easter. Now, thinking back at Passover, the disciples wouldn't have understood what Jesus was talking about. And yet when John wrote it in 85 AD, he knew exactly. So if you kind of think of time zones, now, do people like letters? You know, you've got P, Passover, and 7 weeks later, you've got Pentecost. And then 50 years later, the production, the gospel, when John wrote it. And then, of course, you got your present 2,000 years later. So at the Passover, Jesus was stating he was going to the Father. And that's pretty distressing. And then we have in verse 16 here, just near the beginning of our reading, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. He dwells with you and will be in you. And then in verse 18, I'm not going to leave you as orphans, because he's giving the Holy Spirit as a replacement. And of course, John is understanding this. And after Easter, the disciples have seen the resurrection. And this, you see, Jesus appears to the disciples, but not to the world. That's what it's saying in this passage. And the disciples understand then what Jesus had said. And if you look at verse 20, in this version, it says, in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. That's quite, you've got to think about that, haven't you? That Jesus is in the Father, and we, or the disciples, are in Jesus, and Jesus is in them. Now let's get back to that theme of love. Those who love God keep his commands. And again, just to say verse 23 again, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. I don't know, have you come across that phrase? Let's see if I can find my little book. That phrase, have you asked Jesus into your life? Well, some people like Philip and Trish, if Trish is here, I can't see Trish, but they'll be familiar with this because this is the sort of little booklet that those who go on Through Faith Mission walks give out to people. And it's about knowing God personally. And there's a prayer in here that we suggest people might say if they want to. Lord Jesus, I want to know you personally. I'm sorry for going my own way instead of your way. Thank you for dying on the cross to forgive my sin. Please come and take first place in my life and make me the person you want me to be. Please come and take first place in my life. May Jesus direct our lives by the Holy Spirit in us. Verse 17. So there are lots of ideas, lots of thoughts here, aren't there, in this passage. It's just full of it. Verse 17. God the Holy Spirit dwells in you and will be in you. And of course, that happened at Pentecost. We read it in the Acts of the Apostles, Acts chapter 2, that we read about the noisy wind coming into the room where the 120 followers were, and the flames of fire, and then the languages. You know, these Galileans who probably just knew Aramaic and perhaps a bit of Greek suddenly were speaking Persian and Egyptian Arabic and all sorts of different languages. And they came out, come spilling out of that room, and just, they must have been so full of it. And they were amazed. And then all the people around, and bear in mind that Jerusalem had just so many people. They'd all come in for Shavuot. And the streets would have been full of people. And here, they're hearing them speak in their own languages. And these pilgrims to Jerusalem, they were just amazed. And then Peter started preaching, and he was saying, you know, 7 weeks ago, the authorities, they had crucified Jesus, and he was God's son. He was the Messiah. And then the people they say, what should we do? It says they were cut to the heart. What should we do? And then we have the next slide up. This is the message. This was Peter's message. And Peter says, we read Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will see the gift of the Holy Spirit. So that's his exhortation. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people responded like that. 3,000. And this same good gospel and the gospel news, the good news is for all of us today. All of us who repent, we receive that forgiveness and we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to dwell in us. It says here in verse 26, the Holy Spirit dwells in us and he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. And then we have verse 27, further reassurance at this troubling time. Peace I leave with you. Let not your hearts be troubled. The same as the beginning of the chapter. Trust in me. Don't be troubled. So once Pentecost came, the disciples understood so much more. They'd witnessed the resurrection. They saw Jesus was one with the Father. They witnessed the ascension up into heaven, and they witnessed the Holy Spirit's power in them as they were speaking these languages. And we today, who have the Holy Spirit, we pray that we might allow him to rule in our lives, to sort of clean up the way we live, to keep us from sinning, to direct us and teach us and lead us, and to be filled with the Spirit's fruit and whatever gifts that God might give to us. We might feel unable to love some people. Now, I better not look at anyone in particular here. I shall not look at anyone. We might have trouble loving people, or maybe forgiving people. Maybe just having close fellowship with people can be difficult. But the Holy Spirit helps us. Now, anyone use that expression, LOL, on the text, LOL? Well, I've got a new way of thinking of it. So when you think of LOL, to live well, L, live well, obey Jesus and his teachings, and to love one another. Peter warns that you can have counterfeit faith. It's Paul, writing to Timothy, says, people will be lovers of self, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. But then, you know, you do see occasionally in the news a Christian leader whose shameful behavior is exposed. But then you get deceitful doctors and deceitful police, don't you? You get counterfeit money. But if we genuinely confess our sins, as it says here, we genuinely confess our sins and repent, then we will receive that forgiveness and the gift of the Holy Spirit. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. So we're a new person as the Holy Spirit lives in us. And he wrote to the Galatians, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The Holy Spirit of Christ lives in me. So the Holy Spirit of the Father and of Jesus takes residence in our lives, and we live it out for God, for the Father, for Jesus the Son, and for the Holy Spirit. May this become more and more of our Christian experience. Amen. Thank you.